Man, what a great morning already, right? Praise the Lord. Y'all sounded great too singing. I mean, it's great to have the babies up here and the dedication and all that. Amazing, amazing. But to hear your voices backstage sound like angels, all right? Give your neighbor a pat on the back, say, way to sing today, all right? Y'all can do that. Man, good stuff. And now we get to jump into the message. We're talking about King Jesus, this series, and we've been talking about the King who gives, the generous King Jesus, and how we can be generous too. That's one of the most spectacular things about Jesus is how he gives generously. I mean, think about it. He came literally from heaven to earth, God in the flesh, to give. He gave his time. He gave his talent. He gave everything that he had. Whether it was teaching or healing, we've talked about some of these things over the past few weeks, or he gave his very life for us so that we could live. What a generous king. Just stop and think about the magnitude of that so that we could live forever. Jesus gave his life. He always seemed to be giving more than anyone ever expected. And what's really cool about Jesus isn't that he was just generous, but that he noticed the generosity of others. He noticed the giving hearts of other people that were around him. One of my favorite stories is in Mark chapter 12. So I want to go ahead and ask you to turn there in your Bibles, Mark chapter 12. If you have your bulletins with you, there's sermon notes inside of there. You can flip those open too. That'll help you out. Mark chapter 12. There's some Bibles in your chairs as well. Just kind of help each other find that. We're going to look at the end. At the end of the book of Mark, chapter 12, and we're going to look at a pretty brief story, actually, about a widow who had a giving heart, and Jesus notices her. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Here we go. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Now, I brought one of our old offering boxes up here to represent the temple treasury. All right, this actually come out of building B or C or wherever it was. Some of y'all might remember these. Pretty cool, but the temple treasury, pretty special thing. And here's how the story goes. Many rich people threw in large amounts, kind of like these gold coins. I brought some real gold coins with me today, all right, to show you. And they were putting their coins into the offering. Into the temple treasury. No, they're real. See, watch here. What do you mean they're chocolate? Hey, some of y'all would rather have chocolate than gold, all right? I know that. So, I don't know. This one's going to be a Frisbee. Oh, I'm going to get sued for that. All right. Let's get back to the story. Verse 42. But a poor widow came, and she put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. These pennies, probably in that day only worth about a dollar, not very much. She put in these small copper coins. In verse 43, Jesus notices, and calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all of the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on." This is a short story, but it's got so much there. Jesus sees and celebrates this poor widow. And the way that she had a giving heart, I believe because God knows the joy that giving brings to his people and to the world around us. And this widow in Mark chapter 12 shows us that a giving heart is just an amazing thing. And it starts with a heart of obedience, a giving heart of obedience. Look at verse 41. People were giving to the temple treasury because God told them to in his word. God told them to. That's why everyone was doing it, including the rich. They were there. They were giving their coins. They were dropping it in. And there's a whole lot more to this story, but I don't want you to miss this. A giving heart takes God's word seriously. Over the past 3 weeks, we've heard some great teaching about the King who gives and how to give generously. because King Jesus had a lot to say about money. And we must take his word seriously. That's why here at CCW, we recommend things like the biblical principle of tithing. Jesus and the New Testament writers affirm that putting God first and giving 10% of what you have is a great start to growing a giving heart. Now, to help us understand this, and maybe you've seen these before, but we've offered these stewardship challenges out at the Next Step station. We invite you to go pick one of these up today. In fact, in your sermon notes on the flip side is an introduction to the stewardship challenge. It's filled with scripture because a giving heart takes God's word seriously. And as you think about the stewardship challenge and you go through there, you'll notice that there is something we call the tithing challenge in that booklet. The tithing challenge is an offer that you would give 10% for 90 days to tithe for 90 days. And if you haven't seen God's blessing or you're not glad that you did it, that you get all your money back. True story. You look it up. It's in there. It's a tithing challenge because we believe if you take God's word seriously, you're going to grow a giving heart and be blessed by it. A giving heart of obedience takes God's word seriously and will make an investment. It's kind of a crazy word, investment, but look at verse 42. The widow gives an investment of 2 small copper coins, and she gives to the work of God. The temple treasury represented God's presence, his work, his people, his ordained leadership. It represented a cause worth giving to, and the same is true today. A giving heart invests in God's mission. So if you're a member of CCW, maybe you remember our foundations classes where we explain and ask our members to invest in the mission of Jesus with our income, with our time, with our abilities. That's why we don't have to pass an offering plate here on Sundays, because our members have agreed to invest in the family here, to invest in the work that God is doing through CCW to accomplish his great mission, his mission to go and to make disciples of all nations, to baptize and to teach and to obey everything he's commanded us. And praise God, praise him for the return on your investments. Lives are being changed every day around here, from the inside out and for all of eternity. We've had 14 baptisms so far this year. Just another one this morning. Dottie, I don't know where you're sitting, but congratulations. Just today, Dottie was baptized. We see freedom from addiction, people coming out of their paths and lives being changed. We see babies growing into their Christian homes like we saw during the baby dedication this morning. Praise him for that. We see thank you notes from our community. Be like the SWAT team, are you kidding me? I mean, they're here. I mean, thank you notes from the community. We see missions being done in places that we won't go to reach people for Jesus. It's amazing. And think, we actually have a building that works. I mean, air conditioning and lights, and we have coffee and food available and a band. I mean, they do such a great job. All of this is a return on your investment. We see it, a talented staff that works with our kids, like you saw here this morning. And I could go on and on and on. I mean, look around. God has blessed your investment in his mission. Praise him for that. And he does that through generosity. So important. Verse 43, Jesus says that this poor widow put more in the treasury than all of the others. Now, everyone was showing generosity that day, the rich and the poor. But Jesus notices this poor widow because though she had little to spare, she had a lot to give. That's the heart of generosity. It's not about the amount. It's about the heart. And a giving heart models the heart of our generous King. So I hope that you will explore generosity here. Look at all of the ways to give and to be blessed generously. Generosity brings joy. It brings purpose in life. It makes the world a better place. God's kingdom grows through generous hearts. I love the Nigerian proverb that says, it's the heart that gives. The fingers only let go. A giving heart models the heart of our generous King, and we can be generous when we learn to trust God. Trust. Such a big word. Look at verse 44. The widow in Mark chapter 12 shows her trust in God by giving all that she had to live on out of her poverty. It's incredible. She gave. She gave trusting God would take care of her. Do we trust in that same way that God will take care of us? Do we give with that kind of trust? I mean, think about it. We trust God with our eternity. Do we trust him with our day-to-day things? We trust God for our eternity in heaven, for riches that await us one day. Do we trust him with our day-to-day riches as well? Because a giving heart has learned to trust God with everything. Just like this widow did. And y'all, it's all about worship. Worship. The whole story of this widow is about true worship. If you back up just a few verses in Mark chapter 12, you see it starting in verse 28. Jesus has just covered the greatest commandment of all. What does he say? He says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God, to worship God, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your mind and soul and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It's worship. Later in that chapter, he's talked about his lordship. He has rebuked the Pharisees for their lack of worship and not putting their trust in him. And then he spots this widow. And he teaches us a dynamic lesson with her humble offering, that a giving heart is a heart of worship. A giving heart is a heart of worship. Obedience, investment, generosity, trust. It's all because God loves us and we get to love him back. We worship God by giving generously because he generously gave to us. It's worship. I mean, yes, enjoy the blessings of the king. Our king loves to bless his people. But just remember, put him first. Even before you spend, put him first. That's worship. Enjoy the blessings of the king, but be sure to give back to him out of those blessings. Worship. Whether you give a little or whether you give a lot, blessed be the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord. Every blessing he pours out to us, we turn back to praise to him. Maybe, just maybe, this is why Jesus celebrated this poor little widow lady that day with her little dollar offering. She gave that dollar as worship to the Lord. You know, speaking of dollar offerings, this was pretty fun for us. Just a couple weeks ago, we asked you to bring a dollar and to leave it at the doors or whatever. And it was just kind of a cool thing. We didn't know what we were going to give it to. You didn't know. It was just a matter of trust. And you did. You brought a dollar and you left it here, kind of like that widow in Mark chapter 12. You brought a dollar and you gave it, a simple investment of generosity and trust and worship. And I want you to remember that this offering was never about the amount. We didn't know what to expect. It wasn't about the giver. It wasn't about us. And it wasn't about who would receive the offering. In fact, we had an idea that a few weeks ago that we would give to an immediate need in our community, somebody that has nothing to do with CCW at all. And that need was actually met without our help. So we turned to a local ministry called the Dawn Center here in Brooksville. And they help women who are victims of domestic violence, food and shelter and resources. And maybe you've heard of the Dawn Center. And I got to tell you, they were very, very thankful to receive that phone call from us. And they were able to identify a survivor that they've worked with in their agency to receive our offering. They had no idea how much it would be, but they knew this survivor would benefit with any amount that would be given to her as a financial gift. Now, due to legalities and safety issues, I can't show you any pictures of her or videos, but I do have a picture of some artwork that one of the children at the Dawn Center did, whose mom is there. And I want to share her story from the words of her advocate. Her name is Samantha. Samantha was a victim of severe domestic violence. And as a result, she stayed at our shelter. And after some time, she was separated from her abuser and now is living in her own home for a while now. She also has an adult son with special needs. who requires around-the-clock care and special medical equipment. Now, this makes it difficult for her to stay in a shelter if she were to ever lose her home. Now, in the past, when Samantha stayed with us, I believe her son was in a care facility, but now he's not. On her own and safe now, Samantha was able to stay financially stable until recently when she lost her job. And then, to make matters worse, she was brutally assaulted again. Totally unrelated incident than the first. Now, since this recent sexual assault, she has not felt safe enough to even leave her home to get out and find another job. Long story short, just fast forward a little bit, the person who assaulted her has been released from jail. Yeah. And now Samantha is living with this very real, very perpetual fear of violence, both for her and for her kids. She's found herself between a rock and a hard place, feeling that it's safer now to just drop the charges and, in her words, just get the heck out of here to a safe place as soon as she can. Samantha has no ties to the man who assaulted her and was never romantically involved with him, so it should not be hard for her to start over in a place where he hopefully won't be able to find her. She's now looking to relocate. She's going to put her house up for sale. Now, unfortunately, due to her circumstances, she is currently behind on her mortgage and utilities. And this gift, any gift, this unexpected gift, will really help Samantha to get through until her house sells and she's able to find a new home and immediately relocate to safety. And once she has, I do not expect her to have ongoing financial needs in the future. She would be very grateful for any gift, which will help her move forward in her life. Now, last week, I had the privilege of meeting with April from the Dawn Center. And again, no idea how much or anything like that. And, you know, and really, after hearing all that, it's, you know, it's really not much. But because of you and your generosity, because of your trust and just leaving a simple dollar at the door, I was able to give April a check for Samantha for $1,350. And I tell you, it felt good. We get to pray for her. We get to continue thinking about her. She is very grateful for the gift is going to help her out. And this money is going to go directly to help meet Samantha's need to get her out of danger and to keep her life, get her life moving forward again. Praise the Lord. Praise God. This is worship. Y'all, this is what he does when we honor him. And today, a lady somewhere in town is thanking God for you and your offering. Now, April assured me that she's going to be following up with Samantha this week, and if she's willing, then we'll possibly hear from her personally and follow up on her story and see how it goes, and I'm pretty excited that that might happen. But like that widow in Mark chapter 12, y'all, you followed God's leading, and you just offered him a simple offering, a dollar. You trusted him for whatever would happen, and God shows that he works when we worship him with a giving heart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's all about him. Now, this was a special event. It's something that we kind of, you know, just did, to, you know, just kind of as an example and something we could do to worship God. But it, even though it was a special event, I promise you, God works this way on an everyday basis when we have giving hearts and trust in him, just like this lady in Mark chapter 12. So today, I thought for the rest of our time together, I would kind of bring some men up who I deeply respect, and we serve together as elders here at CCW, three men who have experienced giving heart and generosity on a day-to-day basis, and they can share with you in some real-life ways what this means to them and to each of us. So I want to invite three of our elders to come to the stage. First, Richard Weeks. Richard, here he is. Come on up, Richard. Richard and his wife, Mary, have been married for 50 years. That's pretty amazing. 51 come May, and you know, Mary would say it feels like 100, but it's, no, that's, no. Hey, so they've got a couple of adult kids. Their son Scott works, or actually plays bass in our praise band. Richard worked for Sears and Roebuck. for years and years up north. That'll just show how old he is. But that's two. I'm not going to give you a third tease, I promise. But then he moved to Florida and actually became worked for the post office, and he retired there. And he leads an adult small group. He pastors people all over the place. Maybe you've been visited by Richard in the hospital, and I deeply love and respect him. And if you want to know something about Richard, he is a history buff. He loves history and especially trains. You want to know something about model trains, this guy can teach you about them. So, Richard, thanks. Go and have a seat. I'm going to invite another guy up. Who should we ask? Just kind of surprise him.
Yeah. How about Glenn?
Glenn. All right. Glenn Gnadek. Coming up, Glenn. Hey. Now, Glenn and his beautiful wife, Sandy, they've been married for 39 years. 39 years. They've got two grown kids. Like Richard, Glenn came to know and follow Jesus here at CCW, and he works for Hunter Engineering as a sales manager. Hope I got that right. And he actually leads a couple of small groups, mentors men, and just does some. He actually is leading our Financial Peace University on Wednesday night. So if you know that sounds like a good thing to you, go ahead and see Glenn, and he can kind of tell you more about Financial Peace University. And the best thing about this guy right here is that we get to root for the Chicago sports teams together. All right, so. Cub fan, boo, you can't boo the Cubs, yeah, man, yep, so go Cubs, and last guy I want to introduce you to is Bill Mervine. Bill, come on up, Bill. Bill is one of our newest elders. He and his wife, Pam, they've been married for 14 years, they've got four kids, and Bill is actually a contractor. He builds homes and renovates them here in our community, and just a great guy, loves to lead small groups and mentor guys as well, and sing sometimes up here. Maybe you've seen him. It's been a little while since we've heard you sing, but you do have a microphone, so you want to go for it?
Thank you.
Okay, I want to do that. just an amazing guy, and one thing you might not know about Bill is that he is a pilot and loves to fly planes, and if you've got about an hour, just ask Bill to tell you some stories about some of his flying days, because he's got some great, great, great stories. So, but I love these guys. They get to share with you just a few minutes. I'm asking some questions about what it means to have a giving heart and what generosity has meant to each of them, maybe through the years, and kind of share some stories with us. But Bill, just real quick, you know, there's no doubt been a time in your life maybe when you knew you just weren't going to make it. You know, something was, you know, unless God intervened and showed generosity in some way or shape, and he did. And maybe you could tell us a story about that and maybe the impact that it had on your life.
Yeah, absolutely. We did the Dave Ramsey course, which Glenn is leading, some years ago before we moved to Florida. And when we went through the thing to determine what your debt was, it kind of shocked me, because I just had been living life and, you know, born straight ahead. And we discovered that we owed $900,000. And the guy that led the course at that time came to me afterwards and said, now, he said, you misunderstood how to fill this out, because this is not supposed to include your mortgage. And I said, it doesn't. And that's another $500,000. So we were deeply in debt, and without the Lord's involvement, there's no way in the world that we would have ever gotten out of it. And I think our primary source was God, but then he brought Pam into my life. We met January 26th of 02, and how I got confirmation that she was my partner to walk through this, on March the 1st, the company I had worked for 27 years filed bankruptcy. So in the course of that, there was just more stuff than we can get into today, but I like to take that big picture and bring it down. One little snippet is a situation where we had a house on the market for sale, and I discovered there was a judgment against me that I didn't know about, and we weren't going to get any money out of that settlement. So I called my bank, talked to my loan officer, and said, I've got a favor. I said, don't know if you can do it or not, but what I would like to go until we go to the closing on this house without making any payments. And he didn't say anything. And I said, what I'm asking is, there's plenty of equity in the house. You've got a loan, but I don't want to pay any more money until we close. If you cannot put that on my credit, and if you cannot have penalties, interest, whatever, but just accrue those monthly payments until we go to close. When the title company calls you, you can tell them the principal and all those payments, this is what we're due, and you'll be paid in full. And he said, I'm going to have to take this to the board. So he did. 10 days later, he called me back on the phone, and I thought, here we go. And he said, I don't understand it, but the board unanimously approved your request. So that was only God. because these were a bunch of secular men who really didn't know me other than our credibility of paying on time and doing what we said we were going to do. But they granted that request. It worked out exactly the way we had agreed. They did their part. I did my part. We went to close, and it saved us $9,000 that we contributed to other debt. So God works in powerful ways. We just got to be open. We've got to listen. We got to let the Holy Spirit work through us.
Wow, Bill. Thanks. Yep. Man. And I can't help thinking as I hear your story and think the big thing that jumps out at me is hope. You know, to knowing that, you know, that's a good time to say, no, God, not now. I'm not going to give. I don't, you know, or what right do I have to ask you? I've got myself into this trouble, you know, and here you are, you know, trusting God with that, no matter where you're at in life. And I know that probably had a, you know, just an impact on your life in general, maybe a ripple effect, you know. You know, can you think of how that might have just affected everything else that you've done since, or, you know, maybe an impact that it had on you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're the end result of all that. After all those years of working and paying stuff off, we were able to stay ahead of the wolf. And I have had people ask me, so you filed bankruptcy, right? No, we did not. But we went from $900,000 to $13,000 in debt today. So that's a straight-up miracle.
Yeah.
But it's been a blessing to us because through all of that, I was taught from when I was a small child that we need to be giving back to the Lord. And so we were still able to tithe. We were still able to live our life. We were still able to eat and do you know the basic stuff of life. The miracle was we actually did three missions trips down to Biloxi, Mississippi.
Wow.
After Hurricane Katrina. And to be able to do that in the midst of all that, and as I look back today, I can't see where it had any negative impact on us being able to pay back all that money. But at the same time, those 3 weeks were three of the most powerful weeks of my life with us reaching out and blessing other people. So the blessing we can give is not always just our money and the 10%. We need to think about time because there's a lot of people and a lot of needs out there that may need a listening ear. They may need some action on our part, but they don't necessarily need our money.
Yeah, great, Bill. Thanks. Yep, it's crazy he used you in the midst of all that. And I don't know if you other guys have, you know, anything that, you know, as far as, you know, maybe the impact of generosity has had on you or a time where you thought, man, this isn't going to, you know, going to work, Glenn.
We've all talked about and thought about in our lives about those weird coincidences that happen. I'm here to tell you there's no coincidences. Sandy and I have something very in common with Bill and Pam. There's a lot of things we have in common that are really good. Both being in debt for over $900,000 is not one of them that I would put on there. But we were at that point. Wasn't working. Sandy didn't have a job. We were getting ready to lose our house, our cars. I mean, I thought everything, and we didn't have a relationship with Jesus. We didn't have that relationship, and I was literally out in my front yard cutting the grass in the lawnmower with about half the gas that I needed to make it through. But I didn't care. I needed to do something just to take my mind off of it. But I knew that as soon as that gas ran out, it was all gonna come home on me. But what the Holy Spirit did is it guided my neighbor to come out and just, I mean, he had no reason to be out there. So it's just all the Holy Spirit. Came out just to talk, and I basically threw everything that was going on at him, and he graciously handed me a Dave Ramsey book. I've never read a book in a day in my life. I will tell you that in that next 24-hour period, I read that book cover to cover and was sitting waiting on our lanai for him to come home from church the next day to ask a million questions. That was just the beginning of it. I still didn't know what I didn't know, and that is that I needed to have the personal relationship with Jesus. But that was the start, and there's a whole bunch of people that are in this room that have been touched by Sandy and I. And I just want all of you to think about that. If the first person skips that step when we are called to reach out to somebody, to be there for somebody, to not pass up that opportunity, because that's, you know, for those of us that have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior and through baptism have received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we can't ignore it. Can't ignore those opportunities because it changes lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Glenn. Yeah, it's great. It just points to more than just, you know, finances, which are, you know, part of us, but the time we have to take the energy to, you know, the 10 minutes to go across the street and care for a neighbor like that has changed your life and changed the life of many others. So I appreciate that story a lot. It all comes back to generosity, you know, and we know this isn't easy, and not for a minute, these guys will want me to say this, is this about them or, you know, what they've done, but what God has done. What God has done with them and through them, and to continue to praise him and give him the glory for it. But this isn't easy. It is not easy, not without struggles. I'm sure you guys were, you know, trying to figure out. Richard, maybe share with us a struggle, something that you found difficult, you know, and were able to overcome in this.
Well, when I think about struggle and I think about what we're all up here talking about, I think of the time when my wife and I first joined CCW or became aware and started attending here. And we became aware of tithing. And we struggled with the idea of tithing, Mary and I. And we prayed about it. We know that the church needs to take a collection. We know that we like the lights to be on. We know we like air conditioning. We know that that takes money. And that the church needs to take a collection, needs that money to run, to keep operating. But when I put an actual figure on it of 10%, I thought, wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. And we talked about it. We prayed over it. And we thought, well, maybe we can start a little lower than 10% and we can work up to it. We prayed. We talked about it. And we struggled with it. And the one thought kept coming back to us, and that was, no, we should start at 10%. And if we have to, we can hold back. We can go the other way. So we decided we would go ahead and tithe the 10%. Did it hurt? Absolutely. Ouch comes to mind. You know, we felt the pinch. It was definitely there, definitely real. We got no big fat check in the mail. We kept pushing on. And, you know, as it went on, it became, I don't want to say more comfortable, but because it, comfort's not the right word, but we kept tithing. And as we did, we realized that the discomfort, if you will, was giving way to the feeling of joy. It became joyful to tithe because it was for the glory of God. And every now and again, from time to time, we get the feeling we ought to increase our tithe. And we do. And when we increase our tithe, the joy increases along with it. The Lord blesses us, Joe. The Lord is good to us. And from time to time, the Lord puts in front of us opportunities where we can reach out and we can bless others. It's all for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. I've heard people say that it's always good to have a little something extra in the bank to fall back on. And I agree with that. Of course I do. It's good. That's good. And I've also heard people say when they have a load of money in the bank, they certainly can sleep a lot better. There may be some merit to that. But Mary and I have found that when we give generously to the Lord, that we sleep very well too. And I'd like to just end with this comment. I've said it before and you'll hear it now. That giving is not a matter of the wallet. Giving is a matter of the heart. Yeah. And that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Good, Rich. Yeah. You know, we throw numbers, you know, think those all out of the Bible, you know, and these kind of things, but you know that giving is between you and who? Yeah, God. And it's funny, I mean, this even the story of the widow in Mark chapter 12, Jesus is the one who notices her and celebrates what's going on. And, you know, God knows, and, you know, and we do this for him, and not to get noticed, you know, and things like that. But it's so encouraging to know, Richard, like, you know, especially that you struggle with the same kind of things that we do. And by the way, and I just got to mention this, you know, the wives of these three men, and like many of you men and ladies in the audience, I mean, it's a roller coaster, you know, and I can't say enough about, you know, their wives and the wives of our leaders, the wives that are sitting next to you, men and men next year, you know, we're in this together, and I thank you. I thank Pam and Sandy. God, thank you, Mary. Thank you for being a part of this journey and being able to share with us. It's truly amazing to see what God has done. How do, you know, we hear these stories, we think about this, you know, and I promise God has got some amazing vision for this church and for this community. Y'all, we truly believe that God can reach every single person within our influence and see them saved. There's not a living, breathing person that we know that can't come to know Jesus. Two of these men came to know Jesus right here at CCW. We also know that we're here to make disciples and to make disciple makers and kingdom leaders that are going to change the world around us. And that's a big vision. How do we, you know, give us some encouragement. How do we, you know, maybe a challenge from here after today hearing these things that we can take with us, you know, and in the area of generosity and a giving heart. Glenn, what do you think?
I challenge everybody to think about it as they're out in the world, but when they're in here, when they're walking in the door here at CCW, don't have your heads down and focused about where I'm going to sit today. I promise you, that's one of the reasons I wore the red shirt up here. I've been an usher here. I'm now part of the service team. There are people that walk in this door every single week, multiple people. And she's not here right now, but the one of them that was just baptized here walked in the door 3 or 4 weeks ago. There are people here that don't have the relationship with Christ that most of us in this room have. And I challenge those of us that have that personal relationship with Jesus in our lives to have our eyes open to those opportunities, to those strange coincidences that you can be a part of. And for all of you that don't have that, please come and talk to us.
Yeah. Yeah, these guys will be available afterwards to talk with you, to pray with you. Richard, when you're thinking about the future of the church and who we are and what we can do, and, you know, what kind of encouragement would you give us?
I would encourage everyone to step up their prayer life. If they have a prayer life, increase it. If they don't, develop one. Read scriptures and take it to heart. Share, fellowship. That's what it's all about. And boy, the more you do that, the more things just fall into place for you. I think that would be my advice for today.
Yeah, that's great. Yep, to pray. Know that we're in this together. Yep, thanks, Richard. Yep. Bill, what do you think? For challenge, encouragement, what would you say to us?
I think Glenn's on the right track when people come in, but it starts long before that. As many of you know, I like what Pastor Dave used to tell us. When I grew up, I always heard from a pastor, you just get them here and I'll get them saved. But I like Pastor Dave's perspective. He said, no. You know, he said, you're the guy that makes the difference, or gal, or whatever it is. You build relationships with your neighbor, with people that you work with. That's the initial interest that people are going to develop in a spiritual life. And I really like the way he used to describe it. Really, our salvation experience is a reunion. Because by nature, if you look back in Genesis, we are made in the image of God. So this is really where we belong. So many times people, I think that they have to get away from a natural life of evil, when really this is where we belong. When the Holy Spirit's working in our life and we're sharing our life with those who are around us, it's so much more about than money. It's so much more about us being people and being connected to the people around us. I think if you're involved in a Bible study group, that's great. If you're not, you should be. The Bible study groups that I've been involved in, we've done several projects down here, but up north we did one where somebody called us. We went and looked at a house. They needed a ramp built. And long story short, the homeowner said, well, I think that we can get the money to buy the materials. And I said, well, we can volunteer the labor. So we brought it up to our Bible study group. They said, yes, they'd volunteer. Kind of off the cuff, I think my wife suggested, how about if we say something about a need for money? They contributed money. We went out and volunteered. It didn't cost the homeowner a dime. And we built a new ramp for their house so their handicapped daughter could come and go and get to a nursing facility she needed to go to every day. So those are kind of rubber meets the road stuff that we need to build relationships with people, whether they go to our church or not. We can have an impact in this community.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep, absolutely, Bill. Thanks. Yep. You know, I love that story. And hopefully you're in a small group or maybe something you can do with your families or friends, you know, to pull together and say, hey, how can we be generous in some unexpected way? And God will honor you with it and give you a story. And I don't know what you want at the end of your life, but man, I'm hoping for a whole lot of stories like that, Bill, and like these guys have. And we're in this together. That's one reason I wanted them to come up today, is just to remind us that, you know, we're in this together. We're a family. We're still learning. You may be in different parts of your journey with God. Maybe this is the first time here, or maybe you've never considered giving or serving. And man, this is what we're here for. Pull together and just, it is contagious, you guys. It is contagious, and I hope we'll just catch it and run with it and just never look back and see what God's going to do with us in the future. I'm going to ask the band to come and kind of close us with a song. And it's funny, I was writing this week, and I kind of, you might have heard me say earlier, you know, as far as worship goes, blessed be the name of the Lord, and everything he pour, blessed as we pour back into praise. And Jesse had no idea that I was going to say that in the sermon, and I looked at the worship schedule this morning, and I saw, or yesterday actually, and I saw the song, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord, was on there. And I thought, it's meant to be. So we're going to sing that today. Let's go ahead and stand together. And these guys are going to be up here again. This is my heroes. I love being able to serve with them. The real deal, in the trenches with you guys. So anything we can do to help, to pray, to be able to help you grow in these ways, let us know. We serve a generous King with a giving heart. I hope that you'll consider giving with a generous heart as well. And if we can help with that, encourage you in any way, let us know, all right? Let's sing together, and then we'll be dismissed. God is just...